Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Man, it's good to be with you. Thank God we're Christians. Amen. Wow. It's the best way to live on the planet. You know, people are trying all different ways, but Christianity is the only way. I have a saying I've lived by for a long time, and that is this, that Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus will always be the only way to heaven. But multitudes of people are serving false gods. Our Bible says that our Jesus, He's the only true and living God. That means all the other gods are not true gods, and they're not living. Now, they are demonic bat. No man, no group of people with a little symbol and a sign and some cool sayings can attract millions of people, but demons can. And they cause all these false religions, and they're collecting souls in massive numbers. But so are we. Amen. So are we. And we're going to keep doing it. Amen. Isn't it something that God knew when you'd be born? God knew you'd be alive today, a believer, climaxing the ages. That's what we're doing now. That's what our churches are doing now. I'm blessed to see all these ministers in the house of God. We're all able ministers of the New Testament. If you're blood washed and especially filled with the Holy Ghost, you are a minister. And you're supposed to be an able minister. You're supposed to be able to minister to anybody and testify of what's happened in your life. But to have all these officers of the kingdom in the army with us tonight. I love every one of them. I was thinking today, I do that once in a while. I was thinking today, every good thing, I even asked Vicki about this, my wife. Every good thing that's ever happened to Mark Barclay happened through a preacher. I wasn't raised in the church. Now, my son is blessed. He's got a total opposite, more powerful testimony than me. Because him and his sister, they were raised under the pews. My story is, I had to chase off demons. And sometimes the church amplifies a bad guy like me that got saved. But really, to me, it's a higher salute when you can be raised in the church and no one can steal you. Some weird woman can't have you. Some weird man can't have you. Some weird demon doesn't get you. You don't fall for alcohol. And no, man, you just stay in the house of God and stay in the Word of God and thank God for that. Yeah. I tell church kids, you know, there's PKs, preacher's kids. And then there's CKs, church kids. That's right. Raised in God's house. You should do 10 times more than a guy like me's ever done. You have 18 years. Let's just say 18, 19, 20 years. I met the Lord in Vietnam at 19 years old as a Marine leader. I'm not sure a 19-year-old anything should be a Marine leader. But I was one, and my whole team came home after 21 months. So God somehow, though I didn't know Him, was helping me, believe me. But I always tell our church kids, you have at least an 18, 19-year run on me, okay? I'll subtract the first 3 years. When you're 1, 2, and 3 years old, maybe not. We were probably all brats, needed our diaper changed, and screamed and hollered and bit our brother or sister or the teacher or somebody. But think about the years I didn't have. I didn't have years of sitting in children's church, youth groups, church services. So you got at least 15 years on me, church kids, that you should be doing a whole lot more for the kingdom because you have a 15-year investment head start on a guy like me. But I actually met the Lord before I met the church. It doesn't matter how it happens. It's just how it happened for me. I met the Lord first. I didn't know about church. Never been to church. Well, I went to church once. That's in my book. I told a little bit of my story, and I just named my book God Possessed, because that's what I am. That's really what you are. Amen. I mean, I'm not demon possessed anymore. I'm God possessed. You know. So when I got home from the war zone, I trained Marines out in California, and I ran into a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking preacher. And I started going to church. That's where I met the church. And you know, that church got me free. Amen. It takes a church to get, the world will never get you free. That's right. They can drug you so you don't know you got pain. Yeah. That's right. They can counsel you and drug you so you don't know you only have half a brain working. Yeah. You know? And the world's got medication, but all it will do is numb you. And when the numbing's over with, the ache is worse. But when Jesus Christ sets you free, and when He heals you, you're free indeed. And honestly, it lasts a lifetime. It's lasted me a whole lifetime. Yeah, praise God. And so, every good thing that's ever happened to me came through a preacher. If you think about it, that may not be your story, but I'll guarantee you, a lot of the good that came to you came through a church service, a worship service, a laying on of hands, a prophetic word, a part of a teaching, someone who believed in you. Say, my daddy got sick when I was a kid and died when I was young. And so when I found a preacher and I could tell he believed in me, I wasn't just like a number. You know what I mean? I just wasn't like a, you know, church member number 205 Alpha. And Vicky was 205 Bravo or something, you know? It's like, no, he believed in me. I could tell. In fact, every once in a while he'd say, you know, I believe in you. And I'd look in his eye, my first pastor, and I'd say, I can tell, Pastor, that you do. Man, that was so powerful. And so I was just thinking about it today. Anytime I've really been healed, it wasn't from an aspirin. It wasn't from, even though we have a great family doctor, that family doctor's never healed us. No disrespect. No. But God did. And it usually through a church service, an altar call, a laying on of hands, a preacher. A lot of people have problems with preachers. But I don't know, I guess there are some goofy preachers. I mean, we're in the last days, there's some goofy everything. Would you say amen to that? Amen. You kidding me, man? There's goofed up teachers. There's goofed up. I mean, look at some of the cops we're dealing with, man. Wow. Who gave them a badge? But it's only a handful compared to all the great ones. So I'm sure there's some goofed up preachers, right? But there's only a handful compared to all the good preachers, pastors, fivefold, that are literally changing a guy's life like mine. And good believers. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now I think my first pastor might have been able to fix me without any help from the congregation. But I'm not sure about that. I just think. He's a pretty strong man. See, I couldn't have lived with a little cookie nibbling, little tea sipping. Didn't know. No, I had to have a real man of God, like a Peter and a James and a John, to look me in the eye and say, shut your mouth and don't open it again till I tell you. Get in the back room, we're going to cast that off from you. Amen. I was the special challenge, I want to say special ed type. I think because I always was in a class extra by myself, me and Pastor, when no other members were there. So if we had Sunday school at 9, Barclay, I'll see you at 8. Seriously. Because, you know, I just raised a pagan. My mama, I don't think she wanted me to be a bad guy. But when you don't know God, you can't offer God. Do you understand? Amen. And so here we are in the last of the last days. And the devil setting up the globe for the appearance of the Antichrist. He wants us to get rid of everything that is rock solid. Amen. Think about it. Everything even in America is still a great nation. But compared to the others, especially, no offense. But everything that's solid, the devil, he wants it to turn into scrambled eggs. Think about marriage. We're so goofed up. If you say the biblical way God defines marriage, then you're a hater, you're judgmental, and down goes this whole list of lies. That's not what we are. We're lies. There's our lies. But they want to agitate and mess with that because it is solid. Homes that don't have a mom and dad are handicapped homes. Or if they have a mom and dad, but they're not functioning as a dad or a mom or one or the other, then they're not as strong as homes where you have a strong husband, a strong wife, a strong mom, a strong dad, and especially, bless God, if they're Christians. Amen. You might as well say amen because I'm in first gear and I'm not going to second and popping the clutch until I get a little bit more agreement out of this message. I did bring another message. I could just start over.
This is a good one.
This is a good one?
Yeah.
Okay, Pastor Mark says stick with it. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. Look at the attack against our Constitution. They say it won't work, but it does work every day. Did you see when they went around and interviewed postgraduates at our colleges in America? That means they're studying like a master's degree, doctorate's degree. And they went around. This might still be available to look at. This happened about a year ago. They went around and they asked these postgraduates. Now, these are going to be the doctors and the lawyers. Can give me two sentences that define free speech according to the Constitution of the United States. Now, they're not in a group. They're just going around. Every one of them but one said, you can't say anything that offends me. Okay, now, let's see. I'm a little handicapped. I'm from Michigan. So, let's see. We go to 12th grade in junior high and high school, 12th grade. And then we go to junior college, 13th, 14th grade. For your bachelor's, maybe 15th, 16th grade. Then if you're studying for a master's, 17th, 18th grade. A doctor, 19th, 20, maybe 21. They're in the 22nd grade of education, and they think free speech is controlled speech? Somebody missed a class somewhere. Or someone's teaching that class really wrong. Free speech is my right by God. I can say anything I feel like. If you don't like it, walk away. That's free speech. If you say something I don't like, walk away. But you have a freedom to say what you want according to our Constitution. Now, the Constitution doesn't give us those rights. God did. The Constitution and our Bill of Rights protects that. Right? But now, because we have speech police, like all communist countries have. That's right. All socialist countries have speech police, and so does America now. In fact, you can ruin your whole career or get fired over one statement. They'll forget everything good you did, but the speech police will catch you say something you really mean, but it's not acceptable by who you said it to. So your career is gone. And they call it hatred and judgmental. Well, just for the record, this is not a town hall meeting and I'm not running for president, but I do approve of this message. So, no, we're the church. And this word comes to me, clarity. The church should be clear. Just like they're attacking our Constitution, they're attacking the Bible. But wait a minute, it isn't the Chinese or the Russians attacking our Constitution. It's Americans. It's Americans that don't want it anymore because they say it's too old. Listen, it isn't the Muslims or the Buddhist or the Hindu that's attacking our Christian Bible. It's Christians and Christian preachers. The decay is from within. Why? Because the Bible brings great clarity. You see, out there, the best term I have is scrambled eggs. I'm serious. They have a great mixture of anxiety, fear, and confusion. Please. Don't even look at me with that tone of face like you're going to argue. You go out there and half of them, not half, a lot of them, they don't even know which room to go in to go pee-pee. Seriously. I feel bad. I know it sounds funny, but we're that confused? We really are in America that confused? Wow. We need a lesson. The little sign with the two legs, no skirt, that's where boys go. The little sign on the door with a little skirt, that's where girls go. If you're confused, call your mama. She was there. I know it sounds funny, but that's how confused we are. Right? So this whole coronavirus, a Chinese germ, it's not the first Chinese germ that's ever come to America. We had SARS-1. This is SARS-2, but we had SARS-1. I'm not going to read it tonight, but I have a whole list that I've been keeping record. In this year, we had this, and that was going to kill us all. Then the next year, we had this, and that was going to kill us all, right? Yeah. Hong Kong flu, swine flu, skeeter bites. Remember skeeter bites? You could die from a skeeter bite. Wait a minute, people did. So we're not mocking it. What we're talking about is how man runs with false information. And we can't fall for it as Christians because we're the people of clarity. Yes. Now out there, I don't know. But when you come in here, the message should be crystal clear. Yes. On any of life's issues. Right. There should be no confusion, no debate. Yeah. It should be clear because the Bible's clear. Right. Can I have a better amen? Amen. You can count on every true church and ministry to be stable. I don't know about the rest. I know there's different churches, and Bob and Mark are sharing and whatever. But if you, let's just take this church because we're in it. You can just count on us being here. You won't come here and we won't be here. Now, maybe, during the communist socialist COVID-19 operation, where you become prisoners of your own home. Well, by the way, I know you know this. But you see, when you isolate and quarantine sick people, understandable. It's Bible. That's why they did the leper colonies. Sure, it's Bible. But when you quarantine people and you don't even know if they're sick, it's called tyranny. Go look it up for yourself. There, no matter what their reason is, that they imprisoned you to your home. Now, I have a lot of friends. I'd say I have a friend that's a black man. But I have a lot of friends that are good, rock solid, beautiful people. I'm white, they're black, big deal. And but he told me this. That's why the only reason I'm bringing it up. He said, "Doc, when you tell a black man that he's got to stay in his home, he can only leave when you say he can. And when he leaves, he's got to have on just his mask and other things and nothing else, or he can't leave his home. He can't embrace anybody he loves outside of that living room. He can go to a store, but only the store that he's allowed to go to. And in that store, you can only buy what he's told he can buy. Now, across the aisle is what he wants, but he can't have it. Because the governor said, no, no. The mayor said, no, 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 no. You go buy this, but can't buy that. And he went down this whole list. I said, yeah. He goes, that's slavery at its best. You all just felt the mildest form of slavery. No, they didn't beat you half to death and mock your life, but they locked you down illegally, unlawfully, unbiblically, ungodly. Wait a minute. We fell for it. We were lied to. Not a chart was real. Not a doctor was right. You in the same country I'm in? In 7 to 10 days, a germ out of China shut down the free world. In 15 days, actually 14 days, 15 people ruled the entire world. You don't think that's a trial run for the Antichrist? This is the land of the free and the brave. And we all obeyed. We all succumbed. Do you know why? Trusted our leaders. But they lied to us. Even our president woke up one day and said, I've been duped. And I got to get this fixed. Okay. Last day stuff. I'm not lost on my message. This is my message. If you're disappointed, come to Bob's tomorrow night, and we'll try to improve the quality and the ingredients of the delivery, I guess. I don't know. But this is the kind of stuff the Lord's been telling me to talk to the body of Christ about. So let's just talk about like one item. How about a mask? Now, one set of doctors said, you better wear one. Now, these are qualified people. They have a track record of high quality. But another set of doctors say, oh, my God, you better never wear a mask. And they're just as qualified as the people that said, wear a mask. One says, if you don't wear a mask, it's not for you, it's for someone else. But they say, no, you don't wear a mask for yourself. You wear a mask. No, you wear a mask for you. Who cares about anybody else? If they got their mask on, what's the difference if you got one on or not? They're masked. And then a whole set of brain surgeons got together and said, go ahead and wear your mask and we'll be doing brain surgery. Did you see that report? And especially if you have the virus, you'll breathe into that mask, inhale it right to your brain, and you'll be coming to see us. So I'm just thinking, wow, I just want to be a good American. Do I wear one or not? Does he wear one or not? So I was going to get one and bore a hole here, here, and here. Now, wait a minute, I'm not picking on you. If you wear one, help yourself. I don't have an issue with that. I have an issue with the scrambled eggs. Who do you believe? They're all supposedly qualified people. And I don't care. I just picked a mask because it's been a topic the last 2 months. But you can pick any topic. And that's how confused it's get. And wait a minute. We talked about this last night, but you might not have been there. What about the prophets of the land compared to the prophets of God? Remember Ahab and Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, in case you don't know Bible history. Ahab was king of Israel. Okay. And Ahab, remember who he was married to? Who? Jezebel. So you know he's got issues. This is not the sweetest chick on the planet right here. She's a God hater and a preacher hater. A preacher killer. So Ahab says to King Jehoshaphat. Now, I don't think I can go down there and take Ramoth Gilead. But I don't think you can either. But if we joined forces, we could go down there and beat the armies down there and take Ramoth Gilead, and we'll split all the spoils of war. Oh, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, says. But first, let's inquire what the word of the Lord is about this. Therein lies a lesson for every one of us. Correct? So Ahab, I think he knew. You know, people that know you, they know if you're a cheater, right? If you're a bright one or a dimwick, they know it. Yeah, you know, you trim the wick on those old lanterns and you get bright. But if you turn them down, you become very dim. You might just turn the flame off and get some puffs of smoke. Your friends and family know if you're a dim wick or if you're bright for God. It's time to turn it up, baby. People are going to hell rapidly. You can just look around, man. There's not a lot of time left. We're in the end of the end of the end. Still with me? Yeah. Then what was I saying? No, before we were at the end. You were listening. Okay. So I think Ahab knew what Josie was going to say. So he already had called 400 prophets of the land to come to the dual palace situation. Now, you got to be somebody. You got to be somebody to be called to prophesy to two kings. I don't know what the Baptists do with this verse or the Presbyterian. This is one charismatic Holy Ghost verse. 400 utterances? Prophecies? Or one in 399 confirmations, but they all said the same thing. Well, you all join. Go down to Ramoth Gilead, and you'll win. So it gets all done. Jehoshaphat says, Ahab, I always like to add this phrase. It's not in your Bible. Good show. It was a great show. That's just Barclay version. You can throw that out, but you can't throw the next part out, okay? Is there not a prophet of the Lord in this region? What? You've insulted our seeker-sensitive, user-friendly preachers, famous, 400 of them. You called to the kings and Jehoshaphat. How could you insult all these famous preachers? He goes, well, I just want to hear from the prophet of the Lord, not 400 prophets of the land. And Ahab answered, well, there's one. But he never, read it for yourself, but he never prophesies anything good about me. That's as dumb as running to a preacher that tickles your fancy instead of fixes your broken. Same difference. So it's like, some of you are looking like, what did they put in his coffee before he came out here tonight, man? Yeah. I'm not reading a lot of verses to you, but I'm referring to many. I could read the Bible to you, but you got teaching priests here that teach the Bible well. So when I get in an environment like this, the Lord uses me like this to talk to you and tie some things together. Now, I can preach line upon line, precept upon, but it's not my duty tonight, so don't get lost in what we're doing. So they go and get the one prophet, one to 400. One prophet of God in that area, 400 prophets of the land. So on the way, they school the prophet of God. Now listen, buddy. Now I know this real well because I've been schooled many times in 40-some years of walking in the prophetic office. I've been schooled many times. And so, now listen, prophet of God. 400 famous, more famous than you, were invited. They all agreed in front of the kings and the cabinets and the armies to go to Ramoth Gilead. Now you better be careful. You know who Ahab is married to. The preacher killer. This could cost you your life, preacher. You better agree with them. You better agree with them. Agree with them. Agree with them. Agree with them. So he gets there and, well, what's the prophet of God got to say? And he starts right out like the others. Go down to Ramoth Gilead, and then God kicks in. And you'll die, and your blood will be found in the streets, and the dogs will lap it up. Yeah. Nobody seldom likes the prophet of God. Everybody likes Reverend Tickle. Yeah. Reverend Scratch Your Itch. Everybody, that's the most popular guy on the planet. Right? Yeah. I'm sure glad you took my offering first.
We're learning some things here. Reverend Tickle.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you have a similar problem. You do. There's no shortage of preachers in America. Anywhere but in America.
Right?
Right? Now, isn't it amazing that the prophet of old said that as the end days come upon us, say it's here. That's where you live. When the end days come upon us, it said that they would run from coast to coast, even our young people, looking for the word of the Lord and not find it. That there'd be a great, great shortage of preachers telling the truth. But then Paul said in the New Testament, in the last days, there'll be so many preachers you can heap them up. My grandpa was a farmer. He heaped up some stuff. He heaped up some stuff. There's just so many. You just heap them up in piles. Is God confused? No. No, he's not. And he wasn't confused between the old prophet and Paul. Because they're both right. There's so many preachers. You can just dial them up, man. Are you kidding me? You can sit with your little, you can go preacher hunting with your two little thumbs, your two little fingers. You can find anything you want. Seriously. Yeah. You can go suck on the warmed up bottle of heresy if you want. It's all free. Okay? So there's so many preachers now that, but let me tell you something. If you find one that tells the truth, I'd never leave that person. Because they're rare. And they're getting more rare as time goes by. Truth bearers. Truth bearers. That's what the Old Testament prophet said. There'll be only those. You'll have to go from coast to coast to find them. It says our young people will faint in that day, grow weary because they can't find the truth. They're there. I don't know why. Are they just rejecting them? Young people don't seem to like truth real well. The modern people, they're not just all young. The modernists, I call them, they're different ages. They only endorse what they feel good about. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. It's how they feel about it. That's whether they accept it or reject it. That's the greatest, I wanted to say anointing, but that's the wrong word. That's the greatest influence that Satan has on the modern, on modern people. Well, I don't feel good about that. Well, I've even had people, well, it may be Bible, but it can't mean what you say. Barclay, I think you said it the truth. I think you told us the truth. But man, you have a sharp knife. Can't you throw some sugary stuff in there once in a while so the truth is more? Wait a minute, honey. We're digesters of truth. We're lovers of truth. And if you want a Bible study, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It starts out by saying, don't be soon shaken in your mind or become unstable because of the day. See? Oh, that's my alarm. You are saved. I was going to lace into you something good. Hit snooze? Thanks, Joe. Snooze is wonderful. How many of you wake up to a snooze alarm in the morning? Anybody, let me see. How many of you love it? I'm a snooze lover. I love snoozing. And I just got 15 more minutes. Na 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 na. I don't know why I'm so fussy tonight, but I am. Praise the Lord. It was that coffee? Yeah, that coffee. One coffee? Yeah. That don't do nothing to you.
I tried to stop you.
Huh?
I tried to stop you. But...
You did not try to stop me. You paid for it. Come out of that, man. Oh, wow. Well, that's it, folks. Go home, try to get healed from this message. Wow. Anyways, so let's wrap this up because I'll preach forever if you let me. But what are you trying to say, Doc? Here's my summary. You live in the last days. You can't help it. You can do nothing about it. You can't be born again and live your life through. You can be born again as a Christian. You got to find preachers that tell you the truth. I started to say in Thessalonians chapter 2, God said, now, I believe some people, but I really believe God. God said that because they were no longer lovers of the truth, I sent them a delusion that they would believe the lie. These people that are ransacking our country, our Constitution, our Bible, our churches. And isn't it amazing that you could have an abortion, buy wine, beer, marijuana, cigarettes, and lumber, but you couldn't go to church? I went by Lowe's. It's on the way to my church during the imprisonment. We got special permission to drive from my house to the building to do a video presentation for the church. And on my way there, I drove by Lowe's, which I always do. There was at least 200 cars there. I'm not exaggerating. So I thought, I think I'll go in there. So I turned around. I said, I hope I don't get arrested because I don't have permission to go to Lowe's. Sister Governor says I don't have permission to go to Lowe's. So, but I thought, well, maybe I'll just kind of go in there with everybody else. So I did. You know what I found in there? People. Real, live, breathing, sneezing, coughing people. You know what else I found? Naughty, naughty, no separation. And only two people had a mask. I thought if I had a cart full of masks right now, I'd pay our building off. Praise God. You kidding me? Wow. I thought, wait a minute. Why can they do that with no separation and no mask in over 200 cars? I don't know how many people were in there. But I can't go to church with believers. Don't tell me this was just a germ. Now, the virus is for real. It wasn't fake. It isn't fake, like some people say. Just ask any medical people or relatives of people who really did have it to their death, especially. Now, a lot of people had it and recovered, you know. Someone said, well, our state actually began to say, we don't think we can really free all of you until y'all have been tested. So if you test me today, how does that work tomorrow? Because I'm going to bump into people again. And I don't know if they're tested or not. So testing ain't going to free nobody. Anyways, you can throw that part out if you want to. So I got thinking, hey, hang on a second. The virus is real, and it's deadly. But the crisis is man-made. It really was. It still is. It was mismanaged horribly. It really was. It still is in some places. We just had these dams break in Michigan, where we live. It ended up being four dams and four lakes totally emptied. You ever seen a big lake empty in 4.5 hours? Yeah, just blew the dam into the air almost. Devastation everywhere. It'll break your heart just to drive through there, let alone talk to anybody. I'm a combat veteran, and that's still one of the most horrible things I've seen. But you know what? The water was real. The crisis was man-made. Because they were told to fix those dams. And the people that repaired those dams wanted to repair those dams, but our government sued them back and forth and wouldn't give them the permits to fix the dams. Wait a minute. I want to help all you green people, all you environmentalists. I want to help you right now. You know why the dams weren't fixed? Because they wanted to protect the mussels that were growing in one lake for environmental purposes. But golly gee, Gomer, there are no longer any mussels, for there is no longer any lakes, and neither are there hundreds and hundreds of homes over one environmentalist operation. Think about that. Now, the water's real. It hurt people, but the crisis was man-made. Look what's going on in our streets right now. If you're an American, now, I don't care your roots. If you're an American, you can't help but be angry of what happened. And I don't say the name because I don't want the press to run with it, but you know who I mean. That man that was killed by a cop that had already had been reprimanded before and should not have been wearing a badge. How many? 14 times. Now, you can't be an American and watch that and not just be infuriated.
That's right.
That someone didn't fire that guy. And then I watched. I want to go out there and demonstrate myself. Hey, it's our right. It's how we're heard. It's how we... I didn't say riot. I said demonstrate. That family, they had a right to speak up. Everybody around them, even... I don't care if you're black or white or in between or something. Everybody had a right to be outraged. And demonstrate. That's our right to be heard. That was for real. And if nothing becomes of this, I pray we'll clean out all the bad cops.
Come on. Amen.
But you got to understand, there's a whole lot more better cops than there is a handful of bad cops. Now, here's my point. I'm not being town hallish. Just hear me a minute. I'm talking about the last days. We live in the last days. We're God's people. We're the people of clarity. We can't get confused like they are out there. We got the Bible, man. We got Christian leadership. I was just as angry when I watched professional haters and rioters jump on that poor family's case and start burning and shooting and sniping cops and people and blowing up stuff. They seized our right to demonstrate. Every American ought to be totally ticked off about that, that you could do that to a family who already lost somebody the way they lost that dear son. But you see, that crime was real. We watched it. You and I know that's not the only crime going on with tainted badges. We watched that. What'd you say? One more time. I'm not doing it. I'm hungry. I'm hitting stop. If you want the finish of that story, invite me back. So, you see, that crime is real. It's an outrage. And I'm not an expert on this, but it seems like it's not just black folks, but it seems like a lot of times what we see is black folks being abused in some way. I'm not black. I try to understand that, but I just flat out humble about it. I have some black friends, preachers, and I go to them and say, I'm not an expert. Teach me on this. I wasn't raised like this, you know. I wasn't raised to hate anybody. But as true as that crime is and as disgusting as it is, the crisis is man-made. Those professional rioters, give me a break. They staged bricks already cut in half for throwing size. Good people don't do that. Real demonstrators don't do that. The people standing up for that family, they didn't do that kind of stuff. They were infiltrated. They were seized and overcome. See what I'm talking about? So it don't matter we're talking about a virus, dams breaking, rioting in our streets because of... We can go on. You can't be the confused people. Sort out what is real and what is man-made and be a person of truth. Because if you don't, God said, you become as delusional as them. You know what their fix to a germ was? Lock you in your home and declare you sick. A friend of mine in San Diego, hospital, they had just under 200 deaths to the coronavirus. But when Attorney General Barr sent someone to look into it, golly gee, they came up with six. Six, not 200, six. You know the difference? $26,000 per person. But wait a minute. The people who died really did have the virus. But it didn't kill them. Something else did. So there's a difference between dying with the virus or dying because of the virus. So when the Attorney General looked into it, they had to shrink, I think it was 197, down to six people. Because they all died with the virus, but of totally something else. This is what I'm talking about. See, we just keep choosing. They're delusional. The fix to that was lock you in your home, shut down businesses, ruin the greatest economy the world has ever known, period. That's their fix. They're delusional. Their fix to broken dams is protect the muscles. Delusional. The fix to stopping the rioting is lay off every cop. Delusional. Get rid of the bad cops. They don't deserve the badge. And they ought to be prosecuted if they're guilty. Just because they have a badge doesn't mean they get to get away with crime. You don't get to get away with it. But you see, if you suck off from the prophets of the land, there's two categories. There's only one category of the prophets of the Lord. The prophets of the land, you have the fake preachers, the heretics, the comedians, the public speakers. They're toothy, preppy, proper. They're just so fun to listen to. They'll scratch your itch. They'll bring you hope. They will lie to you in order to get you, get your money, get your support. But the other prophets of the land are more dangerous. That's the news people. Not all news reporters. You notice, if you want to get news, good luck, Charlie. You can, listen, we used to turn news on, some of you are old enough to remember, 6 o'clock at night and 11 o'clock at night. And in 30 minutes, you could get so much news. You knew if your dog, next door neighbor's dog, chased a squirrel and broke the screen door, all the way to, oh my God, something's going on in Hong Kong in 30 minutes. You can watch an hour of news now and say, I wonder what they told me. I don't know anything more that's going on. And then they use the power of repetition. Over and over and over. Now, wait a minute. I got to go. I want some protectors. Give me bodyguards right here. Every night I sleep with a MyPillow. I love MyPillow. I love the MyPillow guy. You got a MyPillow? Give me Knuckles. But I am tired of hearing from the MyPillow guy. Over and over and over and over. It's like, hey, we got it, man. We made you rich. Give us a little break, will you? Yeah, just repetition. So the prophets of the land, you notice the guest on most, almost all, it doesn't matter what station. If you notice almost all the guests that are now on the news, they're prophesying. They're asked. They don't ask, what did you see? What did you witness? Seldom. They want to know, what do you see coming? How do you predict this? They're playing prophets. They're dragging that false, familiar spirit to the forefront. Well, you're an expert on economy. Where do you think this is going? What do you predict in the stock market? That's the prophet's job. They're supposed to bring us news, and bad news at that. That's what they get paid for. Train wrecks, car crashes, ships sunk, right? Your dog ate your neighbor's cat, but it's okay because he ate the other neighbor's parrot. We're supposed to hear bad news, not prophesying. And if you listen to the prophets of the land, whether they be the fake preachers that are afraid to tell you the truth, or whether they be these news people and guests, you will be led astray. You will start to believe what they're saying. Why would you believe that? Because it's a demon. It's a seducing spirit. If it was just humans, you'd say, I don't believe that. They're crazy. But because it's demonic, you begin to change your mind. Well, maybe we should just love everybody. God sent a prophet to meet Hezekiah at the gate, coming back from battle with all the spoils of war. And the prophet stopped him, the king, at the gate and said, God is angry with you and you will pay for it. Pay for what? Hezekiah said. Why do you love those who hate me and hate my ways? You will pay a price for it. And Hezekiah did. New Testament, the Bible says, if you say Godspeed to those who are against our God, Godspeed means be blessed, God bless you. I wouldn't do it, but I don't mind if you do. That's Godspeed. And the New Testament says, when you say Godspeed to someone who's just denying God, the Bible says the sin and struggle that's on their life will never leave your home. Same difference. That's why we talk to you like this. Because you're the people of the know, not delusional. You come into churches like this, you will learn the truth. You may like it, you may not like it, but you'll know what God has to say about it. And you salute and clap for your preacher every time you're in their midst and they tell you the truth. Because it's costly in the day of the Antichrist to be known as a truth bearer. But it's better than being delusional. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Let me pray that you get healed from my message. Heavenly Father, it's such a nasty day. There really is hatred. There really is prejudice. There really is mass confusion. There really is anxiety and fear. These demons are for real. They're trying to ransack everything that's solid and clear. But I pray for the body of Christ and the churches represented here. I pray in the name of Jesus that we will stand up strong against these last days demons. They will not overcome us. We will save and spare our children because we'll tell them the truth. We will spare and save our household, our spouse, our relatives, because we will tell them the truth. And whatever you send in the earth to cause delusion for people to believe the lie, it will not be us, because we will believe the truth way before the lie ever presents it so. And I pray that over every one of us. I'm going to pray this too. Lord, whatever Satan has stolen, look up here a minute. Proverbs 6. If the devil, the thief is called, if the thief is caught, if he's caught in the act of stealing, he has to not only return it, but times 7. That's not like 7 times 10. That's like 7-fold, it says. That means whatever he took, he's got to, in humility, bring it back to you and go back out and get it again. And in humility, submit to you, Christian, and bring it back to you. Times 7.
Amen.
Times. So God's got him by the back of the neck. And he's going to bring it back to you. And I'm going to pray that. I just want you to have that picture. Now, because Satan's a thief. And during this coronavirus stuff and now these other things that are going on, things have been stolen from us, including peace and joy and family members and money and businesses and jobs. Raise your hand to me. Heavenly Father, come stand with me, Pastor Mark, if you will. Father, we stand in authority over these people. We thank you. We didn't ask for that authority. You told us to do it. Now, Lord, make the devil march back everything we have lost. Every dime, penny, dollar. Yes, every business is going to rise up. Unemployment's going to be taken care of. Employment's going to happen. And even our churches, whatever has been lost, it's going to return. Satan, you can't keep it. God won't permit it. And neither will we. Neither will we. Now as we go about our lives, Lord, let the glory of God shine. Help us to trim our wicks and be clear, crystal clear. Who cares if the world likes us? We're not in a popularity contest. We're in a truth-bearing contest. And that's what we're going to do. Tell all our friends and relatives the truth and help them sort out this cloud of confusion. In the name of Jesus. So, Pastor Mark, It's what I see in these preachers we run with. We run with some pretty good people, don't we?
We sure do.
We do.
Real good people.
Clarity, stability. Clarity, stability. That's what you have here.
Hallelujah.
Clarity, there's no confusion here. Come and ask us, we'll just tell you what the Bible says.
That's right. Yeah.
There's no, well, people don't like that. Who cares?
Yeah.
I submit to things I don't necessarily like.
Yep.
And then stability, that the church will be here. You'll be here.
Yes, sir.
You've proven faithful, you and Phyllis. You'll open the Bible.
Yep.
Have you ever preached from Britannica Encyclopedia or a comic book or Reader's Digest or anything like that?
No.
So they can count on the fact. They can tell the whole neighborhood, hey, I found a guy with a Bible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What about you, Bob? We're going to you next. You ever preach from Marvel comic book?
Not at least 2 months.
Not at least 2 months? Troublemaker. If he preaches tomorrow night because I left town, you'll know why. Look at, I know these preachers. You can just count on it. Tell your friends. Tell your confused neighbors, your scrambled egg city, that I found a guy or a woman with a Bible.
That's right.
Yeah.
I always just thought if you're a preacher, you should study the Bible.
Really?
I don't know. It just seemed like that's the way I was taught when I was growing up.
You got to get with it, man. This is 2020.
I even bring mine to church.
See, that's right. See, he's confessing.
Church, yeah.
He just made a public confession that he brings his Bible to church.
Every service. Yeah.
So go out here and tell your demon-driven city that I found a guy with a Bible.
Yeah.
Found two guys with a Bible.
That's good.
So if you want to know what God thinks about stuff, just find the guy with the Bible.
Yeah. That's right.
Why didn't I just say that in the beginning and go sit down about an hour ago?
We could have already had dinner.
We could have been eating.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot in between. It was really good, though.
There was.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping there was something in there. Praise the Lord. God bless you, everybody. Give the Lord a good hand clap.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.